medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the manager of business applications at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. I just found out that I'm a green thing rather than a blue thing. I don't know what that means yet, but okay. Those, I think, with iPhones labeled people.
Yes.
I'm green and apparently you're blue. So you're a Smurf and I'm a Packer fan. Okay. But beyond that, I'm sure I just violated half the training that I took this week because, you know, Oracle annual compliance training, mandatory 4.5 hours or more if you don't pass the test is going on.
Are you trying
on.
To tell us something?
No, not at all. But I mean, they even give out badges now too. So it's like, hey, guess what? You've got your compliance training. And if you get it done within like the first 48 hours of it being announced, you get, you know, the gold star or whatever, platinum star. And then 2 weeks later, it's gold. 2 weeks later, it's silver. And then there's bronze. And then if you miss bronze, you still have a month to get it done. And you just don't get anything. And then you just feel bad because you don't have the badge on your personal profile. And once again, I'm sure these comments are in violation of something that I'm training on right now. So there you have it.
Did you get a badge? I mean,
I haven't finished. Oh. I'll be honest. I haven't okay. finished. There's only so much I can take.
At one time.
So at one time.
Yeah. Multiple hours. That's tough.
Oh, it's a minimum of 4.5 hours. Like, that's the fastest you can get through it. So,
and does it like prompt you for questions, kind of questions along the way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Understand.
And then they tease you with, you know, hey, try to test out of this. And they give you like 3 or 4 questions. And of course, they make at least one of them so ridiculous that you're going to fail, which forces you to go back through. So then you just wasted more time. And then, of course, if you happen to misclick or misread or you're going too fast and you're actually not paying as much attention as you probably should be and you miss something, you've got to repeat. And anyway, again, I'm not dogging the training. The training's actually very good. They do a very good job. Every year they refresh it and it's very, very professional and clean cut, just awesome. But the reality is it's at least 4.5 hours out of your day that, you know, sorry.
You're not getting work done that you want right. to get done.
Kind of like jury duty. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, how many of us get that summons in the notice like I just did and say, yay? No, I mean, but honestly, I did. And I went and it was fun, I suppose. I don't mind doing my civic duty. Honestly, I get the summons. It's not that big a deal. But I was batting 1,000 on jury duty up until this week. So in that, every time I've gotten the summons, I've gotten selected. I've gone through jury selection and been put in the box. Every time. And oh yeah.
So wow, that's actually quite impressive.
Yeah, once again, I got selected and got to go upstairs and sit in the room and go through the entire selection process. And I was 3 eliminations away from being in that box again. And lucky for me, the people in front of me had the right answers. I don't know, or didn't offend anybody. I mean, I've tried. I mean, I've tried to say stuff probably, again, in violation of that training that I talked to you about. But it doesn't seem to matter. They look at you and they say college educated, you know, you can be objective. Yes. And then you're done for. There's no way to really get out of it. It doesn't matter what you say. So just kidding. Not that I want to get out of it. I do enjoy it. The court cases that I've been in have been very, very interesting. And this one would have been interesting too. So happy to serve. But anyway, what's up with you?
Well, actually, I'll knock on wood. I have never been summoned for jury duty. So
lucky you.
Yeah. So I better knock on wood because I'm sure I'll get a notice next week in my mailbox.
The next time you move and you submit a change of address, I guarantee you're getting summoned. That's it. It's over. It's done. I'm calling it right now. You're going in. So
Good to know. Otherwise, just trying to survive the heat and all the construction around my house. And
Yeah.
Fun stuff. So, like I mentioned last week, going to end up with a little extra work. So, permits got filed. I got to see the renderings. That was exciting. So,
i.e., yeah. drawing.
Okay. Yes, drawings. So, that was very exciting.
It's an A-frame, it's a TP, it's a box, and it goes on top of it. It's really detailed, I'm sure. I'm just kidding.
Actually, that was for the concrete. So, not even. It was not a teepee. That'd be some very odd looking concrete.
Oh, wow. So we've got a rectangular section of concrete that now has footers on it. Okay, everybody imagine, close your eyes.
Well, it's not exactly 100% rectangular because there's like a bay bump out my house. So there is a little bit of...
There's character.
There's character.
Okay.
So yes, it's very exciting.
Very exciting. All right.
Yes.
Well, what are we going to talk about today? Because, you know, I know we're almost on a time crunch this week. Sorry for everybody, but, you know, it's been a long week already. And I know we were debating topics. So what are we going to go through today?
Let's talk about some of my frustrations.
Oh, okay, so let me get my glasses and my notebook and sit back and relax. Do you need to lay down for this? Do I need to?
Therapy session.
This is the Chandra therapy session, everybody. So here we go. And I'm taking notes just because I have a feeling that my team's not going to like this particular episode. We might have opportunities. That's what we're going to call these opportunities. Okay.
Or is it just you?
Okay.
Right?
Well, there's a processing option for that, I'm sure.
Did you program that? Because it probably doesn't work.
I'll work on that. Okay. Okay. So everybody start your processing option counter. How many processing options are we going to come up with today? Okay. Let's go through it. So how can I help in what you dealt with today? So, and again, everybody, I mean, this is not outlined, not scripted. I mean, we're just going to see what
we're
you dealt with
talk.
Today, and I'm going to try to help, and we'll see what we come up with here. All right, cool. What do you got?
So we have a third-party vendor that is doing some work for us, installing some software that is integrated. I'll leave it generic. And as part of that installation, they said, hey, we noticed these two bugs aren't installed in your system. And I was like, oh. So I went out to the update center and plopped in the bug numbers and figured out that they were in JN20168, which I learned.
Oh, yeah, that one.
A baseline ESU? Is that correct terminology?
Yes, I believe when you looked at update center off to the right, it indicates whether or not it is a baseline. And in this particular case, it is.
So can you explain, first of all, what a baseline is for those that may not know, because I didn't know right away what that was.
Okay, well, similar to last week, I'm just going to apologize ahead of time to my team for using my own terminology on this stuff and probably not adhering to what they would like me to say. And
the technical standards.
Maybe there's a technical explanation for this that I won't hit. But so to understand baselines, you have to understand ESUs in general, I think. So electronic software updates are cumulative updates. What we try to do is deliver to you in an ESU the changes required for whatever defect or defects that you're looking for, but the cumulative version of that, right? So as we do bug fixes, we don't require that you pick every individual bug and then try to figure out all other objects that were impacted by each and every one of those bugs and trace it through yourself. Instead, we go through and collect those things and create a cumulative version of all the changes that you would need to successfully apply and run that change. Okay. So what that does though is dependencies can grow, right? So what we try to do is look, one time you change, I don't know, let's go with what I actually know, P48013 and you change X4801. Fine. All right. We're in work order entry and we change, you know, one of the business functions behind it. the next time you change X4801 in, say, B480210. Oh, geez. Well, that means that in order to get the B480210 change, you need X4801. And because I already changed X4801 for P4813, the object before it, I need A. So I changed A and B, and then I changed B and C, and therefore I need ABC. That's as simple as it goes with dependencies. But you can imagine now that I change C, if I then change C and D, now in order to get A, I need ABCD, right? Yeah. And things start to grow. And all of this is to make it easy on you to not have to decipher all this and to make sure that you get the cumulative version that's going to work. So this is in your favor. But recognizing that dependencies grow and we want to limit the size of our ESUs to a degree, we do periodic baselines. And what baselines do is reset those dependencies. And it says, okay, if we can guarantee that you've gotten to this stage, to this version of these objects, we can reset the dependencies and start that whole thing over, right?
Mm, okay.
Okay. So now all of a sudden, while I needed A, B, C, D, if I guarantee that you got to that point, starting at that point, the next time I change A, I only need you to take that baseline and then the one change for A. So that next change that goes to A or the next change that goes to B or C or D, while it requires the baseline, it won't require A, B, C, D. Like the next change is in A, B, C, D, right? So it decouples all those, breaks that dependencies, and lets them continue on their own way. Now, of course, dependencies grow again and things merge again. And then once it gets to a certain size, we will establish a baseline.
Baseline.
Again. And, okay. And again, what that then does is give you stepping stones. It says, here's a version. Get to that version, everything breaks apart. Get to another version beyond that. And everything. So it gives you stepping stones. And then depending on where your bug is, where your defect is, you may not need to get to the latest version of that object because that bug may be captured in a baseline 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, right? So I may have changed it in 2023, 2022, 2021. But if your bug's in 2021, there may be a baseline that captured it and you don't need the 2022, 2023, 2024 version. I know that's a little extreme, but that's the whole idea is that we reset those things to keep things smaller so we don't just keep on cumulatively building. Now, if you're going to get current, well, then you get current on it all. Right.
Yeah.
That's the way that works. But if you're not in a position where you can say, hey, let's just get to, you know, July of 2025, if you're not there and you need this bug that you're talking about, and look at this thing. This is a baseline from 2023, which means you don't have to get current on that object because I'm guessing that whatever objects were involved in those bugs that you're looking at were probably changed after this baseline, which means there are ESUs or even potential baselines after this that you don't have to take to get what you want. That's why we do baselines. And that's what a baseline is. Does that help?
Yeah, I think it does. It just makes my life challenging to a certain extent. InFocus 2025 is coming, and you're invited to the J.D. Edwards Event of the Year. Join the JDE community, Oracle product teams, and industry experts in Denver, Colorado, Tuesday, September 9th through Thursday, September 11th, for 3 powerful days of learning, networking, and innovation. Save extra when you register a group of 4 or more. Dive deep into key topics like Release 25 and 26, Orchestrator, AI, Automation, UX1, and more, all designed to help you get the most from your J.D. Edwards investment. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus to learn more and register. That's questoraclecommunity.org/infocus. We hope to see you in Denver. So sure. I opened a ticket and asked my CNC to pull down the baseline ESU, which they did for me, and they ran an impact analysis for me, which is part of our standard operating procedure. And they gave me this the results of the impact analysis, which were pages.
Sure, sure.
We're gonna go with pages. It was a lot of pages. And I look at this, and I think we need to do a future episode on how to read an impact analysis.
Sure, yeah.
Because when I first started here, that was not something I had done before. So when I started, I'm like, what am I looking for? When I look at these, right? I was like, yeah. Oh, okay, I don't know. So just a future episode note, we should do that. That being said, I did get in here and I'm like, oh my goodness, golly gee whiz. There are a lot of objects in here.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Correct. So your impact analysis is going to, at a high level, and depending on your versions, there's different capabilities. So depending on how current you are. So I'm not going to get into that right now.
Right.
But at a high level, obviously, what this is trying to do is say, look, the what you're about to apply includes, in this case, 62 objects. Of those 62 objects, based on what you've applied already to your system, right? Because that baseline is just a cumulative accumulation of all the ESUs since the prior baseline, right? For those objects.
Okay.
Okay. So when you look at that, it's saying, look, I got 62 objects in here. However, of the 62, only 54 of them are actually going to be applied because you are already at the appropriate version for, at least in this case, a whopping 8 of the 62, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to apply because you have the version that you need already.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So that's the initial thing. So it's like, okay, of all these objects, how much of it is noise? Well, in your case, not a ton of it.
Not
right?
a ton
just
of it.
Just 8. But that doesn't answer the full story. Because this is just impact analysis, and this is just trying to tell you what it's going to put down in your system.
Well, and the one thing I want to point out as well is for us as well, on this one, we have one that's a modified or custom object. So in addition, guess what that means? I got to do some retrofitting.
Retrofitting, yep, absolutely.
Yep. So,
and again, to be fair, I mean, I know our point isn't to go through the entire impact analysis report, but other things that can be impacted, special instructions, data dictionary, processing, you know, all of these things are part of what we deliver. So it tries to give you a breakdown of that to give you a sense of, obviously, how impactful is this going to really be? Now, just because we're applying those objects, there's another key element to this. So my question to you, because I don't know, do you have object usage tracking turned on?
We do. We turned that on. Almost 2 years ago now, and it's come in quite handy in numerous situations, and I think it's going to come in handy for this, is what you're going to tell me.
Well, of course, because just because we apply it doesn't mean we're impacting something that you actually use, right? And that's where object usage can really help you out, because it further narrows down based on these 54 objects that are getting laid down. Where should I focus my testing? Like, of what I use, how much is going to get impacted, right? So 54 may really narrow down to, I don't know, 53. I'm just kidding. Maybe less than that. But
well played, sir. Well played.
Right.
Thanks.
You know, who knows, right? I mean, you could get good news, you could get bad news. But the point is just because it's going to get impacted doesn't mean it impacts you because you don't know exactly what you use. So object usage tracking would help you out. And even after object usage tracking, there was like user access tracking that we put out there, and it went to a even lower level of granularity if you wanted to understand what users were actually using what objects and what modules, right? So again, this combination really helps you out. But another thing, like you said about custom, okay, great, you have a custom object that's impacted, so you think retrofit, but are you using that custom object? That's another question to ask. How many of these customizations do you have that you're actually no longer using, and therefore you don't need to retrofit it? Because the reality is hey, here's an opportunity to reevaluate, to potentially remove if it's not actually being used.
Do it a happy dance.
Happy dance. So
happy dance for removing something. Now who knows if that'll be the case, but you know, it's always good to have goals.
That's right. It's always good to have goals. This is true.
It's good to think positive, you know, and optimistic.
The Vikings have goals. I mean, eventually somewhere in that empty trophy case, there might be one, said no one ever. Okay, moving on. So,
and it's not even football season yet. Oh, boy. And he's just getting warmed up. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, I know this was going to be a quick one today. I know we're both pressed for time.
Yeah.
Was that helpful, not helpful?
Yes, it was helpful. I do appreciate it because you may have taken the compliance training. Mine isn't due yet. And there may have been a few F-bombs that I dropped trying to decipher this.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I know there's like a line. And,
yeah.
And if you're dropping F-bombs, then it's probably we've crossed over the technical line to where you're... Mm-hmm.
Uncomfortable.
You know, unhappy.
I want to be happy. I just don't know how to get there.
Fun tech just turned into F tech, and I'm not going to say it. All right.
That's fun. I like that. I wonder if our guests, you know, Andrew, who had funk tech, will appreciate the new version.
Yeah. There's a third version, and we don't like going there. That's a bad day.
True story.
That's good.
Yes.
Stuff.
So, yeah.
Well, absolutely. We never end without a Midwesternism. So what do you got today?
Well, I have a Midwesternism and then I have a Midwestern update. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Two for one. It's like a daily double.
Ding, ding, I know. Ding, ding. Yeah. Well, last week we did have a daily double, too, because I did talk about my dad bringing up the corn before the 4th of July.
And so... the 4th of July, just so everybody's clear, if you take two cases of beer and stack them, that happens to be roughly knee high. So that's another way to measure it. But I don't speak from experience.
No, only, you just speak only from the video that I sent you for how you can know that your corn is knee high by the 4th of July. I love the things that Instagram likes to serve me that are Midwest. It makes me laugh because most of them are true and I can kind of relate to them.
Yeah, so Lord knows the system is listening. That little phone is listening.
I know. It's a little scary. But let's start with the Midwest update. They released the Minnesota State Fair food list.
Oh, goodness.
I know. I'm so excited. So I did share it with you. And we will definitely have to do a review like we did last year. And we are going to have to get there this year, Paul.
All right.
We need to do a live episode. We need to contact our Midwest friends, the ones that were sitting front and center in our live podcast, The Blueprint, and have them come and join us. Because I think it would be a hoot. And we could do like a live episode from the state fair.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be fantastic.
It would be fantastic.
Sweet. So I'll look at what you sent me and start like scoping out how I'm going to gain 15 pounds in like 3 hours.
A day.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
a day.
A day. It's all good.
Sweet.
And then you can say, geez, Louise, I just ate a lot.
Oh, or geez, Louise, look at this list of objects today. Anyway.
Exactly. I think that may have come out of my mind. Geez, Louise. That's a lot of objects.
I'm guessing you didn't use that terminology today, but that's okay.
It might have been a little stronger, but I should have used this. This is why it's a good thing that I sometimes work remotely.
Ah.
That way, when those things fly out of my mouth, I don't have to be like, sorry.
Oh, my bad. Oh,
my bad.
Very cool. So, geez, Louise. Obviously, that's exasperation. Oh, my gosh. What the W?
Yes. A surprise, frustration. Yeah. It's a general expression of surprise or frustration. Jeez, Louise.
The big question is who's Louise? Or if you do know Louise, you'll have to send us an email at the JDEConnection@QuestOracleCommunity.com. Right?
No, .org.
.org. My bad. .org.
See, I didn't know it at Blueprint. You forgot it today. It's all good. We all do. It's because it's such a long domain that by the time I get to the end,
I get lost. I forget where I'm at. What am I talking about again?
Yeah, exactly. What am I saying? All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, or if you happen to know who Louise is, please contact us at the JDEConnection@QuestOracleCommunity.org. Until next time, Let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya!
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.